But there is a word from the Lord. We won't be before you too long. Sometimes preachers say that, you have to be careful. Because you have to qualify what's too long. But our word this morning comes from Luke chapter 23, verses 50 through 56. And then I'll read over to Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 7. I'm reading from the New Living Translation of the Bible. And it reads as thus. Now there was a good and righteous man named Joseph. He was a member of the Jewish high council, but he had not agreed with the decisions and actions of the other religious leaders. He was from the town of Arimathea in Judea. He was waiting for the kingdom of God to come. He went to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Then he took the body down from the cross and wrapped it in a long sheet of linen cloth and laid it in a new tomb that had been carved out of rock. This was done late on Friday afternoon, the day of preparation, as the Sabbath was about to begin. As his body was taken away, the women from Galilee followed and saw the tomb where his body was placed. Then they went home and prepared spices and ointments to anoint his body. But by the time they were finished, the Sabbath had begun, so they rested as required by the law. But very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb taking the spices they had prepared. They found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. So they went in, but they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. As they stood there puzzled, two men suddenly appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes. The women were terrified and bowed with their faces to the ground. Then the men asked, "Why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Remember what he told you back in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be betrayed in the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and that he would rise again on the third day." This morning I want to preach to you from the thought, nothing matters. Nothing matters. Nothing matters. These are the words that I heard that came out of the mouth of a young lady some years ago that I was visiting with, that I was meeting with, counseling with, the part of my counseling practicum, that she said that nothing matters. It was a beautiful spring day, and it was obvious that everything in her life was not beautiful. As a matter of fact, it was bad. We began to talk about her life, and she told me how she once was a cartographer. There's a word for you. I did not know what a cartographer was at the time, but she explained to me what it was. Some people in the military call it a geospatial intelligence analyst. You know, the military has some fancy words for stuff. But her job was simply to go up in aircraft, the helicopters, and she would take photographs or pictures of the geography below. That she would take these pictures so the military could use them in their special operations. She would make maps of the area so they knew how to map out the area to complete their assignment, that she was a cartographer. She explained how one day she had some injuries. These injuries led to one thing after the other. She explained to me how obvious it was that she was suffering from some mental disability, that she had some mental health challenges. She started talking to me about how all of this led to drug use. She told me how eventually she lost her husband and her two children, that he packed up and they left. She told me how her sister was now taking care of her children and how much she loved her children, but she wanted to be with her children, but she could not. She talked about not being able to hold a steady job. Eventually, she found herself in a homeless shelter. I'll never forget the emptiness that was in those eyes that stared at me as she quietly said to me with tears streaming down her eyes, "Nothing matters." For us to whisper nothing matters, it's really like she's saying that her world was meaningless, that she had no hope, that nothing mattered. All that mattered to her in life was already lost, so nothing in her world, nothing in her life mattered. And she was in deep pain and deep despair. That one day was no different from the other. Nothing seemed to really matter to her. And maybe you've been there before. Maybe your world has been turned upside down. Maybe you've even uttered those words that in the moment nothing matters. I know I have before. When I don't get my way, when things don't turn out the way I want them to, then nothing really matters. That I throw my own pity party, and in that moment I say, nothing matters. I've been there before. This morning I use this expression, though, in a radically different way. This resurrection sermon, I'm reminded, y'all, that nothing really does matter. That nothing makes a difference. Sometimes nothing is good news. The last time I checked, nothing is not good news. Let young people, kids, let you not get something for Christmas. Nothing for Christmas. Nothing is not good news. When you go to your bank account and there's nothing in it, that nothing is not good news. Oh, when you look for something in the house to eat, then you wonder what's for dinner. Somebody says nothing. That's not good news. So the question is, when is nothing good news? And so this morning I want to give you a few things about this good news of nothing as we focus on the resurrection story. May it be a reminder to all of us that there are some things that are good about nothing when we say nothing matters. So as Jesus hung on the cross on that fatal Friday afternoon, darkness fell across the sky. The sun refused to shine. The earth shook violently. The curtain of the temple was torn down the middle as Jesus shouted, "Father, I trust my spirit to you. I entrust my spirit to you." He said these words, "It is finished." We find in the story that after he died that this man by the name of Joseph of Arimathea, that he asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. The text says that then he took the body down from the cross. So here we see some good news, that nothing was on the cross. That's good news today. Nothing on the cross is a good thing, because that meant that the job had been completed. Again, the last words of Jesus was, "It is finished." He finished his assignment. It was complete. It was done. That he completed everything that the Father commanded him to do. And the cry that he makes on Calvary's cross is not a cry of exhaustion, but a cry of completion. It was finished. It was done. Jesus had done all that he had come to do. He could have called, y'all, 10,000 of angels to come down and to rescue him, but he didn't do that. He laid down his life for you and for me. So why did he do it? That's a good question. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." We have all sinned. He did it for you and for me. No matter how good we think we may be, no matter how holy we think we may be, all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And maybe in this moment I'm talking to the people that don't have halos on this morning, but even in our saved state, even in our saved status, sometimes we don't always get it. We don't get it right. Our only hope is in faith in Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and our. Why did he do it? Romans chapter 5, 8 says, but God demonstrates his own love towards us, and that while we were yet still sinners, guess what? Christ died for us. That he paid the ultimate price for you and for me. Y'all, that's love. That's love. And no matter what you're dealing with in your life right now, no matter what you're going through, you need to understand the love of God. That in this moment, God loves you with an everlasting love. I don't care what you're going through, what you're dealing with. God loves you with an everlasting love. He's an all-knowing and all-powerful God. The price was paid. Y'all, when we were slipping, dipping, and tripping, and all of that, that's why I need some folk in there with no halos on today. So why did he do it? I just want to remind us today. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God get eternal life. The last time I checked, you get a wage for something that you earn. So we earn death, y'all. Eternal separation from God. But God in his love sent his son to die for you and for me. And that's good news. There was nothing on the cross. Can you imagine on this first Easter morning, a few of Jesus' followers there, many of them were women, they were following him, and can you imagine them going by the place where Jesus died? Them staring up at the cross that was now empty. But they see this blood-stained cross where he had a crown of thorns placed upon his head, and the blood came streaming down. Can you imagine them passing the cross, and on the cross, this wood, you see blood splattered everywhere from how they whipped him and how they beat him. But at the end of the story, they look at the cross, and there's nothing on the cross. The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. But you're saved because there was nothing on the cross. He was no longer on the cross, y'all. That leads me to my next point, that you have to believe that he was raised from the dead, which means that there was nothing in the tomb. We know the story well. There was nothing in the tomb. As we continue our journey with our women, apparently Mary Magdalene, she was one of the first to arrive. She was the one that had the demons cast out of her. That she was the last one at the cross and the first one at the tomb. And she sent for the other women and found nothing in the tomb. No one was in there. It was empty. Jesus had risen. He was alive. And that's good news today, that there was nothing in the tomb. There's a story that's told of this young boy by the name of Philip. Philip never felt like he belonged. He was kind of an odd-looking fella, different from everybody else. All his other 8-year-old classmates. One day in his Sunday school class, just before Easter, the Sunday school teacher gave them each a plastic egg with an assignment that each child was to go outside and find a symbol of new life and put it inside the plastic egg. So enthusiastically, all of the children went out and they found different things to put in the egg, y'all. Said one found a pretty flower. The next one found a beautiful butterfly. One found even green grass. One little boy even found a rock, and people laughed at it. They put it inside the egg. But finally, there was a last egg, and it was open. And nothing was inside the egg. The other children laughed and said, "That's stupid. The assignment was to put something inside there to represent resurrection and Easter." And little Philip came forward and said, "It's not stupid to me, because when I read the story, the tomb was empty. There was nothing there." And that's our hallelujah story. The tomb was empty. There was nothing in the grave, nothing in the tomb. He got up from the grave, y'all, and that's good news for us today. Because there was nothing in the tomb. We too have hope that one day we'll be raised together in new life with him. To those who know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, listen, the sting of death is gone. That we can face this life without fear, and we can face death without fear because we have a hope in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. He's able today to be with us, to help us, to strengthen us, to comfort us as we live out this life. He's able daily to be with you. I want to talk to somebody today because you're dealing with something, you're going through something, and you need to know right now that Jesus is with you. He promised never to leave you nor forsake you. On this resurrection day that we call Easter, as we celebrate with eggs and Easter egg hunts and Easter bunnies and family dinners and all that, don't forget that he got up from the grave. We need to remember this last thing, y'all, and I'm almost done. We're cutting through the woods because we got to get to some food. And this last thing, y'all, that's sandwiched between, y'all, the cross and the tomb, that's simply this. There's nothing that God can't do. Nothing he can't do. When we look at the story, y'all, listen, the resurrection, it had some obstacles, y'all. There were the guards there. They were to guard the tomb. They were there to prevent anybody from taking Jesus' body away. But then sandwiched in the story, we see this stone which was rolled away. And the women shouted, "Who's going to roll away the stone?" Some say this stone weighed, you know, a whole lot, maybe 1,000 pounds or so. And so certainly they couldn't roll it away. There were others that were there, but even mere men, they could not roll the stone away by themselves. And so who's rolled the stone away? I dare to say that God rolled the stone away. What that says, there's nothing too heavy for God, nothing too hard for God, no stone that he cannot roll away in our life. What stone do you have in your life? What stone is blocking your vision of Jesus? What stone is blocking your way to God? He can roll the stone away. We can ask him and he will roll the stones away in our life. The fact that the stone was rolled away and Jesus got up from the grave lets us know there's nothing too hard for God. Do you believe that today? Do you believe that there is absolutely nothing too hard for God? Nothing is impossible with God. So, those hidden sins that you think nobody else knows about, God knows, but it's not too hard for him. The nasty habits that you might have that nobody knows about, God knows, but it's not too hard for him. The heavy weights that you're carrying right now, the burdens that you're carrying right now, I want to let you know it's not too hard for God, that there's nothing impossible with God. The Bible says that if anyone be in Christ Jesus, that he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Do you feel like nothing in life matters? Do you need a new start? On this resurrection day, this Sunday morning, that you showed up to church this morning, and I hope you didn't come simply out of, you know, a habit. It's just what you do on this Sunday. If you did, that's okay too. I'm not throwing any stones. I'm not judging. I'm just glad that you're here this morning. But more than anything, I want to make sure that you know that you have a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior of your life, then there's something you need to do today. And I ask you and I plead with you to do that today. That nothing really does matter. The good news is that there was nothing on the cross, there was nothing in the tomb that there's nothing too hard for God. We hear people say all the time, though, that no news is good news. I wonder, what does that mean? That no news is good news. I think people say that sometimes because, you know, if you haven't gotten any information, you know, that may be good. At least you won't worry because you just don't know. You don't know. You don't know what you don't know. But I don't really buy into that. You know, we haven't heard anything about exactly how Social Security is going to be impacted, y'all. We don't know the news, but hey, no news can be devastating news. But this morning, y'all, we have some news. Have you heard the news? Have you heard the report? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the heavens and the earth, that he neither faints nor he grows weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, to those who don't have strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait upon the Lord, my Bible says they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Do you believe that there's good news in the house today? Do you believe there's good news in the house today? That we got some news today. And the news is that Jesus got up from the grave. Does somebody believe me today? Are you really glad about it? Jesus got up from the grave with all power in his hand. The power that you need and the power that I need to save us today. I wonder if I got some witnesses in the house. Can you worship God for just 1 minute? For just 1 minute? For just 1 minute? I know you got a little bit of strength left in you. We praise God for Jesus. We praise God for Jesus.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking, sinking sand. That my trust, that my hope is in Jesus. That nothing really can matter. When you know that you serve a resurrected and risen Lord Jesus Christ. And all the issues that you have to deal with in your life and in my life, we can surrender those to Him. And it's His good pleasure to help us. So if you are here today, listen to me. If you are here today and you're not in a saving relationship with Jesus, we want to invite you into a saving relationship with Jesus. If we confess our sins, if we confess our faults, if we confess our habits, if we confess our stuff, if we confess our mess. The Bible says that He is faithful. Anybody believe that day? Today, that He's faithful. That He will forgive us and He will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So don't let anything stand in the way. Don't let nothing stand in the way of you accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior today. Do it today because you never know if you'll have a tomorrow. Do it. Do it today. Every head bowed. Every eye closed. Father, we thank You for this word today. That nothing matters. It really does matter in the sense that Jesus, You came off the cross. That You were placed in a borrowed tomb, but You didn't stay there. Nothing was in the tomb. And there was a stone that was in the way, but the stone was rolled away. And not, Jesus, for You to come out, but for them to go in and to see that nothing was there. And as heavy as that stone was, it was rolled away. God, there's nothing impossible for You. God, we pray in this moment, by the power of Your Holy Spirit, that You speak to the hearts of these Your people, O God. Speak, O God, even now to those that are not in a saving relationship with Jesus. Speak. Speak, Holy Spirit. Speak to hearts right now. Speak. Speak right now. Speak to those, Lord God, that may have been out of church for a long time and they need to be connected somewhere. Speak. Speak with Your saving power, Your saving grace. Speak. Do what only You can do. Only You can save. Our faith, our hope, our trust is in You. There is no other. There is no other way to be saved than through You, Jesus. So by Your Spirit, speak. Do what only You can do. We surrender to You. We admit that we've all sinned and fallen short of Your glory. We repent, we turn from our sins. We confess with our mouths the Lord Jesus. We believe in our hearts, God, that You raised Him from the dead. The promise of Your word is that settles it, that we are saved this moment. So save to the utmost all that will come to You in this moment. Prick hearts right now. God, for those that aren't connected to a local assembly somewhere where they can worship with other believers, serve with other believers, fellowship with other believers, speak right now. God, we are listening and we follow Your call. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, can we give God praise in the house one more time? Hallelujah. In this moment, we have ushers that are standing in the aisle, that their hands are extended. If there's someone here today and you're not in a saving relationship with Jesus, we invite you into a relationship with Jesus. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting, everlasting life. That's what this all boils down to, a relationship with Jesus. I could not be more serious that you need to know Jesus. If
you're going to spend eternity somewhere. Don't get it twisted. Either you will spend eternity with him in heaven, or you will spend eternity separated from him in a place that we don't talk about, called hell. Eternal torture. I'm not trying to scare you, but if it does, if we scare the H-E-double-L out of it, and you go, hey, whatever it takes. But I'm serious in this moment. You need Jesus. You need to know him. Their hands are extended. They're inviting you to get up from where you are to go to room number one. We have new member ministry advisors in room number one. They will gather information from you and welcome you with open arms. So if you're believing for the first time, or you're already a born-again believer, we say in the church, but you're not connected to a church, we invite you to make Living Faith Community Church your church of choice, a church where we're connecting real life to a real faith. Either category, believing for the first time, already a born-again believer, but not connected somewhere, won't you come right now? Why don't you follow the ushers out? We don't rush this moment.
You've just heard Pastor Kevin Love of Living Faith Community Church, located at 1111 Tally Road in San Antonio, Texas. You're welcome to join us for Sunday worship service at 9 a.m. and Wednesday night Bible study via Zoom at 7 p.m. Living Faith Community Church, where we're connecting real life to a real faith.